Good morning, good noon time, good afternoon, good noon 30, good midday, good day, good evening, good latter day, later day, good night, good midnight, whatever time of day it is. I want you to know, hey, I'm Lynn Ferguson, and I approve this message. I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, Lynn Spins. It's a podcast dedicated to Black life in America and all over the world in music. And today I want to discuss the three Israeli hostages who were set free by Hamas and immediately then after killed by the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. Want to know more? Well, you just sit back, relax, pull up a stack, and let's jump in, Lynn's and Ben's. So I already recorded this episode. It was about 29 minutes and 50 seconds long. And I found out that my microphone was off the entire time. So whoop-dee-doo. So here I am re-recording, but I gave it some time so I wouldn't be like super upset when I re-recorded. But I want to talk about this report that's just come out recently about these three Israeli hostages. So they were from Israel and they were taken by Hamas October 7th. And all this time later, they were killed by IDF soldiers who identified that they were bare-chested, white flag-waving people who were, you know, there were so many signs. There are reports that there were huge letters written, SOS, on the victims. And I guess it was like on their chest or something in their bodies. But they even screamed, one of them, help, in Hebrew. But I mean, I don't know why they thought that was going to work, because I mean, didn't we just learn the other day that like how many Jewish people and Israelis really know Hebrew? Despite the fact that they say that the real Israelis, well, they don't say that they're the real Israelites. They say that Black people are not the real Israelites. They don't say that they're the real Israelites, which makes me wonder. You know, I'll be honest, like, I have not given enough research, time for research, to the subject of the Black Israelites, but, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't understand what people thought the Israelites were in the first place. Like, I mean, they were Black, so, I mean, what makes people think that they would look like Charlie Brown? I don't know. Is Charlie Brown Jewish? They did everything they could possibly do to present themselves as the victims, the hostages, the Israelis they were. And they killed their own people. And I really needed to bring this story to you guys because I really wanted to paint the picture of this is what they are doing. When you hear people talking about like, oh, those are lies about Israel and Israel is actually being very humane in their war efforts. And it's Hamas that's doing the debauchery and the horrible things and, you know, this, that, and the third. But all you have to do is Google. All you have to do is YouTube. Is IDF soldiers, Israeli soldiers, you know, pillaging and raping and this, that, and the third. I guarantee you'll come up with something. I guarantee. And it'll be much more credible than the hearsay that you've heard about people in Palestine, people in Gaza, the Palestinians, and how they equate all of them with the Hamas fighters as if they are, you know, one and the same. And also as if the Hamas, the people who are fighting with Hamas, really should be condemned when they are really the only fighting force defending the Palestinians right now, aside from some of the people in what they call the Middle East, finally, you know, showing support and fighting back as well. But it's just ridiculous to me. And, you know, we just had Alan West at our campus. I think it was yesterday. And I had an internship webinar that I had to attend or chose to attend for the prospective job that I was looking for at the internship that I'm looking at for the summer, or I was looking at for the summer. They didn't end up choosing me. They did want to offer me something. I'm not, it's not enough for me to be like, oh, okay, I'm going to go this, that, and the third. Plus, I wasn't super interested when I found out that it was in Europe anyway, because I'm like, okay, studying law abroad is really cool, but like, and I'm sure that'll look great on my resume, but like, I'm not going to Europe. I don't know what y'all think this is, but I'm not going up there to Europe, baby. For what? For what reason? Baby, they ready to kill me over here in America because I'm too pro-black. I'm so pro-black. You can bet your bottom dollar and every other one as well. I won't be going. They will be ready to do that and more to me over there. Just you watch. His name is Alan B. West. He's a Christian, constitutional conservative, combat veteran, and former member of U.S. Congress. And he was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, in the same neighborhood of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or at least, you know, where he once preached. And he's the third of four generations of military servicemen, all combat veterans in his family. So you know that this guy is going to have a certain affinity for America that is going to make him biased to a lot of things that are, you know, honest about the negative aspect of this country. Aspects. He had this talk scheduled that was titled Historical Perspective, Not Propaganda, on the Israel-Hamas conflict with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. And it looks like it was put on by the SLU College Republicans. And it's just really crazy because it's just like, okay, so like we've got, you know, mind you, when you look at these SLU College Republicans, not one of these people is black on this literature that they're putting out, you know, but that, I guess, is no, never mind at this point. I mean, yeah, I'm just nice to know that the few black people we have at the university, you know, didn't make their way to this front page. But yeah, he's got his black self up there. And, you know, I don't know anything about his perspectives or anything like that, his views, but I do know when I see Republican and I see propaganda, and I see Israel-Hamas conflict, I have problems with all of those things together, because it leads me to believe that he is a person who does not have the right mindset when it comes to this issue and is actually lying about what is being done to Palestinians. You know, the fact that he's a Republican makes it more likely, because we all know that Republicans are more likely than Democrats to be in favor of this. We also know that Democrats are just as guilty just about, because they're all in this together. They're all, when it comes to money, you will see them align quickly, Democrats and Republicans, because they are elitists and they are money grabbers. Then you see the historical perspective, and that makes me question, okay, so what Republican is really running around here talking about the real history of how, you know, a group of people who was running away from genocide that was committed against them and defended by the world, you know, and saved by the world, that group of people in that same year decided that they were going to establish a country built upon the same action committed against the people of that country they stole. And I say they stole, acknowledging that Jewish people were in Palestine before it was known as Israel in 1948. They dubbed Israel. But here we are. Here we are looking at a people who was saved by the world from genocide, committing genocide to establish their own country to protect themselves from said genocide, and, you know, initial genocide. You can't make it up. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. The Guardian has an article out titled Israeli military says its troops shot and killed three hostages by mistake. IDF identifies hostages killed as Yotam Haim, Alon Shamriz, and Samir El Talalka, saying they were mistakenly believed to be a threat. doesn't give the author of this article, but it does inform that it was posted 3 months ago. And that's the thing I've noticed about a lot of these articles is that they're posted as soon as you look up hostages, Israeli hostages killed, what have you, this immediately comes up because it became a very big news story. Because I mean, to kill three of them at once, it's a lot. And it just couldn't, after all of the accounts of this happening already before now, this just had to break it out. It also is telling that, like I said, this happened, these stories are from December. So, and they're like mid, early December. So like one of them I saw was from December 13th. So it's just crazy because it's like, you've got these people out here who are suppressing the truth. They're suppressing the truth. There's no other way to explain why we are just now seeing articles at the top of our feed on through Google and through Bing and Microsoft search engines. And, you know, these are things that even I was looking up things about this months ago, and about another situation that, you know, I can really not even really find right now because there is so much out there about this current situation that's not current. That's from around the same time frame as the other hostages who were killed, who Israel was, you know, and everybody and their mama were, you know, claiming was were not killed by Israel. It's ridiculous. But the article goes on to read, the Israeli military has said that its troops shot and killed three hostages being held by Hamas after mistakenly identifying them as a threat during fighting in a battle torn neighborhood of Gaza City. The announcement on Friday came amid heavy fighting across the embattled territory that led to an influx of dead and wounded into hospitals in Deir al-Balah, Khan Yunis, and Rafah. Separately, the Qatar-based network, television network Al Jazeera, said that one of its journalists was killed and another was injured in a drone strike while reporting in Khan Yunis. The army identified the three killed hostages as Yatam Haim and Alon Shamriz, who were taken from Kfar Azzah kibbutz during Hamas's 7th of October attack, and Samir El Talalka, taken from Mir Am kibbutz. The hostages were killed in the Gaza City area of Shijaya, where troops have been engaged in fierce fighting with Hamas militants in recent days. The exact circumstances of their deaths were not immediately clear. In a statement late Friday, the Israeli Defense Forces, or IDF, said, quote, during combat in Shijaya, the IDF mistakenly identified three Israeli hostages as a threat. As a result, the troops fired toward them and they were killed. End quote. It's just crazy because even in this, when they have to admit that they did something wrong, they fired toward them. They're snitching on themselves. This is the type of language that you all use, but not as bad as when you all really want to use it and when you're not admitting culpability. When you use that you use to describe Palestinian casualties, alleged casualties that were really, you know, the intended targets of the IDF forces who killed them. You know, they describe them as, when the news puts out things, they describe these deaths, these murders of these Palestinians as, you know, oh, well, they just dropped dead of their own accord. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's basically the feeling that you get reading these articles and the titles of these articles, because you see, you know, Palestinians deceased after bomb lands in Rafah or what have you, you know, in Jerusalem. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a bomb just happened to just decide to set itself off and land somewhere with no one sending it there. We don't acknowledge who sent the bomb. We don't acknowledge that they have done this to these people. We don't acknowledge that they have killed these people, slaughtered these people, massacred these people. You know what I'm saying? We just acknowledge that there are people who are dead, there are Palestinians dead after a bomb went off, or Palestinians dead after being mistaken for Hamas. You know, that's one of the biggest ones. It's just ridiculous, you know? Like, they've killed, allegedly, I think it was 70% of the people they've killed are women and children. So somehow you're killing Hamas, and Hamas has recruited more women and children than men in the country. What are, is anyone buying this? Is this really getting past anyone's defenses when it comes to filters on, you know, bullshit? Like, talk about propaganda. That's all I'll read from the article, but you guys get the gist, you know? And one of the articles went on to read that they were holding signs, that they were holding white flags, and that they were, you know, waving them and trying to get the attention of, you know, the forces and things like that. And that's why I bring up things like Alan West coming to the university. I don't know what his stance is on Palestine, but I know this. Back in 2010, he was in support of Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, and others who do not fit into those categories, other human beings, please, understand this. That was back January 5th in 2010. It is, of course, he himself, the Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, speaking in support of Israel with NRA representative members and other good old white Americans with red, white, and blue American flags and, you know, the works. And it's just crazy because it's just like, you know, so like if that, by the way, if that's how he felt back then, I'm very certain with him being a person who comes generation after generation after generation of people who have been obedient, quite literally, to the United States. You know what I'm saying? Generation after generation, for four generations. He's since slavery, basically. His family has been, you know, obedient to the country that enslaved us. So, you know, there's not much hope for someone in that situation. You know, they're going to be someone who is going to have very coonish and buffoonish ways. And they're going to do things like what he just sat here and said and did, and probably reiterated at this event last night at St. Louis University. So it's just very unfortunate because it's just, you know, I wanted to go there and speak in solidarity with, you know, Palestinians and be like, you know, so what's going on? What's up? Because this don't make no sense, and that you all are sitting here condoning this, and you're coming to universities that are, you know, we are a Jesuit university. I was raised Catholic. You know what I'm saying? I don't claim it as much, but I do consider myself to still be Catholic. I do. I don't consider myself to be like, I don't jump at the chance to say, oh my gosh, I'm so Catholic. But like, I still have so many Catholic practices that I just can't really part with the title, you know? And I don't think I should, because like I said, there are practices that I still partake in. You know, I still genuflect when I pray, every single time I pray, two times each prayer to open and close. I still know how to use a rosary and actually want one. I might be getting one soon, actually. I might go over to the bookstore. I still know some of the Latin songs and I'll be honest, I don't know more than a few words of the Latin songs that we used to sing in the hymns in church and everything, but I do know some of the Latin still, and I still, you know, understand a lot of the traditions and believe in them and would definitely not be opposed to, if I had kids, raising my kids up doing things like that, you know, there's different stages of the cross, and there are just different ways that Catholics believe in Christianity and practice it that are, you know, a little different than if you're Baptist or Protestant or what have you. So I still kind of lean toward the Catholic side of things, but I mainly just call myself a spiritual Christian. But we're a Jesuit university. So like, you know, I love that we're open to have people from different perspectives, you know? So I don't think there's a problem with him being here. I think that it's okay that he came here. You know, everyone's views should be able to be, because if we can ban him from coming here, then people can ban trans women from coming here and pro-black people from coming here and all kinds of stuff. And that's not okay. This is just really unfortunate because I hate seeing people, can you imagine what it's like? I mean, and we as Black Americans, we know what it's like. We deal with it all the time, you know? But like, can you imagine, like, you know, to the degree that it's happening in this very moment with Palestinians, like their entire population is being, you know, cornered like vermin and extinguished, you know? I mean, quite literally, like they are being wiped out. And they have to continue living their lives, getting their education, this, that, and the third. And then in the midst of doing that at a Catholic, a Jesuit university, they have to go to or just avoid going to an event being held to, you know, act as propaganda, as ironic as it is that it has propaganda in the name and it's supposed to be against it, you know, to act as propaganda that is supposed to defend a genocide and call for sympathy for the ones committing it. I mean, it is just, I just can't imagine. I couldn't imagine. And I would just be so upset, especially, and that's why it angers me so much to see a Black man go up there and do that. Because it's like, one, I know they're trying, you knew they were gonna want a Black man to do it anyway. But then I'm mad at him. I'm mad at them for putting him in there, in that place, the powers that be, the white people who put him in that room. And I'm mad at him for going, and for at people like him for being like they are. Because you disgrace the legacy of Black Americans. You know, and I only have a couple of minutes before this clip of this episode will end. And either you'll get a commercial after this, and then a continuation of this episode with another segment, or I'm just going to end it. I think I'm just going to end it in a minute and a half. But I do not appreciate having our ancestors, you know, having their names invoked in order to defend a genocide, basically, you know? And I think it's just really unfortunate that this is the type of stuff that's happening, especially when we see the close ties that Palestine and Palestinians have had with Black America and Black Americans throughout history. And even in particular, back during the time that Dr. Martin Luther King was out preaching and, you know, trying to bring this country together under equality. But, you know, this is just really unfortunate, and it's very telling, like I said before. I mean, even if you look at what America is doing in response to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza right now, and, you know, specifically in regard to the aid that is not being able to reach Palestinians safely, Palestinians being killed trying to get flour, you know, it's just ridiculous. And America is allegedly like building some kind of like ramp over there to basically get through and get Gazans, you know, food or something and humanitarian aid. And it's like, okay, so like you're going all the way around and doing all this extra shit that's still not going to help these people, but it just to make it seem like you're trying to help these people instead of actually helping these people and telling your partner, your ally in crime, hey, is not real. Let's just not, you know? You know, what I said earlier about the intentions of Israel being laid bare are very real and proven in this latest news story I saw this morning. It came out 10 hours ago or so, that Palestinians were killed by heavy fire at close range when they were trying to safely return to their homes. There were two men walking on the alongside the beach, and they were just, I mean, killed down, shot up. One of them, they let him pass, and they still shot him up. And then came through sometime later with the fucking bulldozer, next thing you knew. And they're like pushing these bodies with the fucking bulldozer underneath the rubble and the rocks and the dirt and the sand. Like, and these people were waving white flag. Oh, there was another story of these people were drone striked despite the fact that they had white flags. And even this story, I believe they had white flags that they were waving. Yes, they were waving white flags in this story as well. So, you know, it doesn't matter what Palestinians do. They're still killing them. They don't care. They're not, you know, saying, oh, okay, this person, we know that this person is Hamas and this, that, and the third. They're just on the beach alone by themselves pretending to not be Hamas, however that works, you know? And we're just going to kill them right here on the spot. It's ridiculous. And then the video gets out there and it's like, so are you all publishing this video yourselves? Or like, what's going on? But the story did include that there are witnesses to these murders who are missing at the moment. It's just, it's insane. They're proving that they don't care about, you know, any rule of law, any order. They don't care about any kind of innocence or justice. They are strictly about killing, massacring, committing a genocide against these people. And it just really makes me sick. But I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show. And I welcome you next time we jump in Lynn's Bins.